Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, today we come to the last instructions of Paul for the Christian household in his epistle to the Colossians, which takes us into chapter 4 and verse 1, where he addresses Christian slaveholders, masters, as they are called here, and that also has application in our day for employers. So we've gone through all of the relationships. Wives in verse 18, husbands verse 19, children verse 20, fathers in verse 21, slaves, bondservants, in verses 22 through 25 of chapter 3, and then finally, masters, chapter 4, verse 1, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And this is where we're going today, which is Wednesday, March 22. Thank you for your financial help so that we can continue to teach God's Word on this station. Well, who is Paul addressing here? He's addressing masters. The word is kurioi. It's the plural of kurios, which is a word for master or lord, which is used in various ways in the New Testament. In its highest form, it's used of God, the Lord God Almighty. In its most casual form, it's used as a term of respect, something like sir. But in the middle use, I suppose you'd say, of this term, it is used for slave owners. Those who were wealthy enough to own slaves were called lords. They were the lords of the slaves. They were their absolute masters, in the sense that the Lord God Almighty is master of heaven and earth and master of every individual to whom he has given life. So in the economic realm, a slaveholder was the master of his slave. He had complete control over him, even unto death. He had life and death control over his slaves. And that's who Paul is addressing. Masters, he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, those of you who own slaves, whether purchased or inherited, which was a common situation in the first century Roman world, masters. And he's also writing to people who normally considered their slaves to be part of the household. Kind of a strange situation to our thinking today, but most Roman households, at least of wealthier people, were quite extensive. They consisted not only of husband and wife and children, but of servants and often extended family members. It could number into quite a few people. And this is just one of the relationships within the family. But it was an important relationship, and there are specific instructions given. So, masters who are Christians, he's writing to those in the church, he's writing to the church of Colossae, and this part of his letter, which would have been read aloud to the congregation, is being directed toward masters or slaveholders who are members of the church. In other words, Christian slaveholders. And some of them, no doubt, had slaves who were Christians, because he's already addressed them in verse 22 through 25, and fellow members of the same church. But they undoubtedly had other slaves who were unconverted, Some may have had one, some may have had the other. Some may have had Christian slaves, and others may have had unchristian slaves, and some may have had some of both. But there's no distinction as to the instructions. Paul doesn't say, Christian masters, give your Christian bondservants what is just and fair, and your non-Christian bondservants you can treat any way you want to. No, there's no distinction in instructions, because the issue is not who they are, the issue is who you are. You are a Christian. And this is the way Christian slaveholders treat their slaves. And the instructions that Paul gives display an unusual level of accountability and restraint, certainly way beyond what most people in the Roman world would have considered. The most common sentiment of that day is as follows, and I'm reading a quotation from David Garland. He says, control inclinations toward lechery, speaking about how to treat your slaves, control inclinations toward lechery by starving them. Stop stealing by looking up the places from which they might take things. Prevent them from running away by putting them in chains. Force laziness out of them with beatings. And then beyond that, Aristotle said that it was irrelevant to talk about justice in regard to slaves because there can be no justice relating to things that are one's own, their property. So the issue of justice isn't even an issue. You just disregard that. It has no bearing whatsoever on that relationship, according to Aristotle. Not according to the rough and tumble thinking of the street, but according to one of the most advanced philosophers of that day. So you can understand, if this is the kind of thinking that most people in that day, most slave owners had in that day toward their slaves, and this was considered appropriate and was encouraged and was legalized by Roman law, then for Paul to come along and say, masters, Christian masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair. They'd never heard anything like that before. But you see, God requires more of Christian masters than the Roman world required of them, than Roman law required of them, than cultural expectations required of them. Christian masters have some responsibilities unto God in regard to their slaves. And what is it? What is required? Well, it goes on to say, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. But here's the main part. Give unto your bondservants what is just and fair. Strange words in a world in which slaves had no rights. But just because it's legal doesn't make it right. Do you understand me? That's true in every area. Just because something is legal doesn't make it right. You have the legal right to beat your slave to an inch of his life, but that doesn't make it right. You have the legal right to starve your slave, but that doesn't make it right. You have the legal right to put your slave to death if he doesn't please you, but you don't have a moral right before God. Just because it's legal doesn't make it right. Any more than just because abortion is legal, it doesn't make it right. Just because gay marriage is legal doesn't make it right. There is a God in heaven, and he tells us what is right and what is wrong. And the laws of society, when they reflect God's laws, make a very just and equitable society, as much as is possible in a fallen world. But there are virtually no societies that reflect God's laws all the way across the board. Some reflect them more than others, and where they are reflected to a significant degree, you find usually a peaceful and prosperous and happy society. And where they are ignored to a significant degree, you find just the opposite. But just because something is legal doesn't make it right. And just because you have total ownership rights over your slave to treat them any way you choose doesn't mean it's right for you to abuse them and take advantage of them. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair. Because what Paul is teaching is that masters are responsible for the welfare of your slaves. All right? You own them. They don't have freedom. They don't have any way of taking care of themselves because you own them. You own their bodies. You own their time. Okay? You own them totally in this institution of slavery, which is not being endorsed by the Bible, but is being regulated by it. You own them. So as a Christian, that means you've got some responsibilities to them. Others may treat them like farm animals, but you can't. Christians will treat them like fellow human beings. Christians will treat Christian slaves like fellow believers. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair. And therefore, the Christian slave owner is responsible for a moral standard of behavior. You are to give to them what is just and fair. Though legally nothing is required of you, morally much is required of you. Though in Roman society nothing is required of you in regard to your slaves, in God's heaven and in God's kingdom, of which you have by His grace become a member, much is required of you. Give unto your slaves, we are told, what is just and fair. Just is the Greek word for what is right or righteous, and fair is a word that means what is even-handed, impartial, or literally equal. So, we are considering the matter both Godward and manward. Just would be a Godward consideration. Fair would be a manward consideration. Give to your slaves what is just and fair. What is just? What is right? What is righteous? According to God's standards as revealed in His Word. In other words, treat them kindly. Show them loving concern. Meet their needs. Do not be sinful in your words or actions toward them. No mistreatment. No abuse. Remember, a laborer is worthy of his wages, 1 Timothy 5:18. Treat them as you would like to be treated. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you is the golden rule. Care for them as you would a member of your family. That's really what it boils down to. In a day when slavery was legal and culturally acceptable, here's how you are to view your slaves. You are to treat them pretty much like you would treat one of your own children. Your child is not old enough to take care of himself. That's why God gave him parents. And so you are to take care of him. And you own the slave so that he doesn't have the time or resources to take care of himself. He's not free. So, along with that privilege of owning his labor, his services, you have also acquired a responsibility to take care of him as you would a member of your family, to make sure he is being treated right, that he has been treated justly and fairly. Oh, yes. The Christian standard is very high. But oh yes, the Christian standard is right. It is good. It is good for society to follow the standards which God has laid down. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.